Streaming live on YouTube. We're on X. Wherever you are, we are there. You may not want us there. Sounds a little creepy when we say it that way, right? It's good to be with you here on a hot and humid afternoon on Drive Time. Henry Lake is coming up at 6 o'clock, and then we have Twins baseball on the air at, what, 8:40 or so, Dan? I think first pitch is after 9.
8:30 be pregame, and then, yeah, 9:10 will be first pitch.
And you just shared the starting pitcher for the Dodgers.
For the Dodgers is one Shohei Ohtani.
So that'll be fun. That
will be something to see.
I mean, look, we...
David Festa going for the Twins, by the way. I knew you'd want to know that. So
yeah, I mean, you know, I was listening to the radio broadcast the other day, and I learned from Danny that pitchers don't see themselves as going up against another pitcher. So if you're David Festa, you're not going up against Shohei tonight.
Though technically he is, because Shohei's the one that also hits.
Oh, so, I suppose.
So he is technically.
In this circumstance, a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're going up against the hitters of the opponent.
What was hilarious about that is I think, you know, Danny, that was the Joe Ryan, Paul Skeens game.
Correct.
And in an interview the day before, Joe Ryan had said, oh, yeah, absolutely, you get up for a game like that.
Right.
It just completely contradicts everything Danny said. But, you know, it's cool.
You know, we all have takes. It's what we do. It's what we do. Hope you had a great weekend. I was just telling Laura that on Sunday, we went to this Thai festival. And they do it in St. Louis Park at the Wat. It's a Thai street food festival that they do like every Sunday, I think. Every Sunday, just at this like Thai Wat Thai temple. It's pretty cool. Had some, they were, you know, it's like all the people from the temple, and then they had a bunch of other vendors in. But on their sign, it says all proceeds for fundraising, which my 20-year-old was saying, like, well, everybody should put that on their sign. I mean,
technically, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, Seth was like, where are we? I'm like, I think it's a temple. The money goes to to the programming and the events, but it's a Thai Sunday market every Sunday during summer. So something to check out if you want to. They just have picnic tables and you kind of do your thing. It's pretty fun. It is 5:11. Time for the D Rush Hour news headlines.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And our lead story is political here in Minnesota. The state senator who was convicted of first-degree burglary on Friday has said that she will resign from her seat. But the surprise is that she's not resigning immediately. The attorney for State Senator Nicole Mitchell says she'll resign for the Minnesota Senate by early August. So within the next 2 weeks, a Dane Decree was on KFGO radio in Fargo and said that she'll resign by August 4th at the latest. Here's a little bit of what he had to say as to why.
She wants 2 weeks to finish her outstanding legislative out-of-session work, some constituent service stuff. She wants to help her staff find new employment.
I mean, is it wrong to laugh at this? I have been one who has been cheering for empathy for Nicole Mitchell. What she is going through is a family tragedy that has become a public tragedy. And I also have been cheering for accountability, saying that she should step down. She should have stepped down a year and a half ago. Yes, I know, should versus the politically smart thing to do are not always aligned. But she had opportunity after that session to step down, and she didn't. So I suppose part of me was wondering if she was ever going to step down. 2 weeks, one more paycheck, another month of insurance. I want an update on the great jobs that she helped the staff get. Now, there was some conversation today as to whether that is even real, but apparently in the Minnesota House, the staffers work for the caucus, but in the Senate, which is smaller, you do work for the senator. So if a new senator were elected, presumably the staffers, they would have a chance to reapply, but like, you don't know if they'll have a job. 2 weeks, though, I bet. You know, 2 weeks, probably it's... What kind of advice do you want from your former boss, like to try to find a new job?
Or what kind of help from somebody who's...
Well, maybe she's
about
got
to go
like
to the sneezer.
She's got a subscription to like Indeed.
Maybe.
Or like...
Wait, are you listing her as a reference? Yeah. You can contact her. Well, here's the number to the local Hooskow.
So strange. These people, these politicians can't step away. It's a state senator job. Wash your hands of it.
Go take care of your family.
Take care of your family. But this to me, again, is just another like sort of laughable part of a sad story. 2 weeks. My God. Well, she hasn't been sentenced yet, so, you know. Someday when I get arrested, I'm going to ask it to give 2 week notice around here. See how that goes out. Next up, it is a story making national headlines because it plays into so many different things. The fact that another city is endorsing someone who is a democratic socialist. It gives you all you want in a political dispute. This weekend at the DFL convention in Minneapolis, about 500 or so people cast ballots the first time around. There was a controversy over an electronic balloting system that registered far fewer votes than there were people there who were registered to vote or whatever. You know, stop the steal! Stop the steal! Within the last hour, Mayor Jacob Frey's campaign filed a complaint trying to get the endorsement overturned. It is the process of this, which I think politicians, for good reason, get in the weeds on. For the rest of us, I don't know. Does it really matter? I don't know. I don't think, well, frankly, in Minneapolis, the last mayoral candidate to even have anyone endorsed for the DFL campaign was R.T. Ryback. Jacob Frey did not get the endorsement in the other two campaigns that he won. But there generally has been a no endorsement. So the fact that Omar Fateh, state senator, Democratic Socialist, gets endorsed is noteworthy, but also we don't really know what the meaning of it is.
Well, and you know, Blaise Olson was on with the Nita this morning. One of the things that he mentioned was, of course, the financial implications of it, right? Because if the DFL, if the state party is going to lodge an endorsement or is going to recognize this endorsement, that opens the doors to potentially funds coming from the DFL state party into the endorsed
Correct.
Candidate's coffers. That isn't an absolute flow, but it is something that could happen.
Possible,
and it's certainly the reason that you see people like the Frey campaign coming out and saying, nope, this shouldn't count.
Yeah, I think it is. I understand why they're going through the complaints and through the appeals. I also think the message is pretty clear and unsurprising. The core base of the DFL party in the city of Minneapolis has been moving more and more and more to the left. And the question is, if there are people who are Democrats in Minneapolis and don't want to go in the full direction of rent control, free public transit, some of the other things that Omar Fateh has been running for, then your chance is to show up at the primary and cast your vote. But the reality is, the activists of the party, I think, are being very clear. And they want a more left, more leftist, perhaps even a socialist approach in the city of Minneapolis. Is that the best approach? I don't think so. But I'm not a DFL activist. And so that's what this weekend was about. That is the lead. In just a minute, we flip to page two of the D-Rush Hour news headline. Stillwater going after a certain type of e-bike. You fish for fun. They are getting rich by fishing in Minnesota. We'll talk a little bit about the Gophers football stadium. Where do you think it ranks in Big Ten stadiums when we come back? Dave Schwartz joins us in 10 minutes. First, the D-Rush Hour news headlines in Stillwater has had it with the e-moto bikes using bike trails. Yeah, that's sort of the sound. Mary Devine in the Pioneer Press reporting that the e-moto people are riding them on the lift bridge, on the state trails, on sidewalks, and it's not allowed. E-motos. So you're like, what is an e-moto? It sort of looks like a dirt bike. No gas engine. No pedals either. But they're prohibited from state trails, not allowed on sidewalks. And so police are telling people, enough. These vehicles are not street legal unless they have all the required. So it's something people modify. You've probably seen them out there and thought, get that off the sidewalk. Officers have not been issuing citation. You got to have a motorcycle endorsement, motorcycle permit. It's harmless fun if you're driving this around on like a dirt track in the backyard or in the back of your property or on your buddy's farm or whatever, but it's not safe. That's what the police chief says. Complaints have been increased. I think as more people are riding e-bikes, the e-moto people think like, well, if they can ride it, why can't I? You fish for fun. They fish for money, and they're reeling it in. Star Tribune writing about four Minnesotans who are making a living in fishing competitions and putting fishing on the map. Tony Kennedy in the sports section really telling the story of Easton Fothergill. What a name. Easton is 23. He's already earned more than $500,000 bass fishing. He just won. Now, if you're in charge of fishing.
Yeah.
And you're running like a fishing competition. For bass, what would you call it?
The Bassmaster Classic.
Yes! The Bassmaster Classic. Now, who sponsors it? Bass Pro Shops. The Bass Pro Shops Bassmaster Classic, presented by Under Armour. So there's a lot of money in the bass game. And young Easton, knows his bass. So I always thought that Minnesota would be sort of a big mouth in the bass world. And not really. Are you familiar with? I'm not as plugged in on the bass world.
I'm an elite bass mastermind, actually.
Okay. All right.
No, it's just that, you know, in the South, of course, they've got open water.
That's
right. 365.
It's the Southerners.
Yeah.
Pro fishing dominated by the South, but to have four Minnesotans kind of making a living. So you got, but most of them are older. So Seth Fighter of Bloomington, he's 40. Bob Downey of Detroit Lakes and Austin Felix, 41, of Eden Prairie. But if you combine Easton and these dudes together, they've won $2.78 million. It's hard to get in the Bassmaster. Did you know that, Dan? Hard to get into the old Bassmaster Classic.
Limited number of openings.
40
right?
openings, so about 60 people who try. No go. Gophers Football Stadium, we're talking only about the facility. Only about the facility, not about the team. Where do you think the bank ranks in Big Ten Stadium? Of the Big Ten, we're number 11. Well, it's unfair. It's, I make it
but,
sound.
But appropriate in a lot of ways, on a lot of levels. Appropriate.
I actually, so USA Today sports team ranked Big Ten home fields from nastiest to kindest for visitors.
Sure.
And I think generally speaking, this is also sort of ranking these facilities, right? When you read this, wasn't that sort of your vibe here? So number one is Ohio State, the Horseshoe. Yeah. Like, come on. Ohio State is 55-3 since 2016 at home. And it's cool, right?
It's a cool stadium. It's big. It holds, you know,
100,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
So then you get your Beaver Stadium at Penn State.
Yep.
Yep, the whiteout. Like,
just the noise level is crazy, yeah.
Oregon surprised me.
Watson Stadium.
Yeah.
Of course, Nike money. They got every bell and whistle you want there.
Yep. But you're like, yeah, that makes sense. So then you kind of go through.
Camp Randall is number 7.
Kinnick is 6, which again, good.
Yep.
Valid.
Great atmosphere.
And you kind of work through it and you're like, well, yeah, we're going to be below the Coliseum, mm-hmm. USC. We're now, Nebraska is the only one I maybe take issue with. Nebraska is number 8, and we're down there at number 11.
I've seen a game in Nebraska. The atmosphere there far exceeds Huntington Bank. Yeah.
Nebraska has been playing so poorly, though. So you're like, is it really that scary right now?
No, it's not an intimidating place to play, but it's a great atmosphere for college football.
Huntington,
sure.
It only holds about 50,000. The frigid temperatures, I think, can make it inhospitable. It really wasn't until P.J. Fleck really kind of got maybe students a little more involved in showing up, but it's still like it's, you know.
Boats were being rowed.
It's a little rare to be a sellout. So,
but we should point out, too, of course, you know, there's 18 teams now in the Big Ten.
That's
so
right.
Being 11th puts you kind of square middle of the pack.
Yeah. I like it. That's the D-Rush Hour News headline. Dave Schwartz, the legend. I got to talk about WNBA pay because I posted a very hot controversial social media post about this yesterday. So controversial that I spent about an hour responding to people, and then I muted it for the rest of the day because, you know, I have a life. I didn't want to hear you people all day. Not you people. You guys can. You're always welcome. Schwartz in just a minute on CCO.